Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final to open up this new week. It is a Monday on TEL. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Super Bowl 59 is set. A rematch
glorious.
From just 2 years ago. What?
It's glorious. Super Bowl's glorious, okay, man. Good. Fantastic. Well,
you don't normally interrupt my intros to an hour, but that's fine as well. But it is what Donnie is discussing. Who do we want to win Super Bowl 59? Who is the public feeling by any means? Because outside of the Kansas City metro area or regional Philadelphia, not many people were hoping for this Super Bowl matchup, a rematch of Super Bowl 57 in Super Bowl 59 for the second time in 3 years. How quickly we sour on elite things when the Chiefs start their dynastic run and they have this exciting new quarterback in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid trying to finally win that first Lombardi trophy. It's fun. It's cool. We love to see greatness. And then quickly because, we've seen this already. These guys get all the calls. Screw KC. And the fact that Philadelphia is back in the Super Bowl for a second time in 3 years, not exactly earning the public's favor as well. So, DRS, you call it glorious. Let's dive right in. We had to ask the people, all of you out there, which team will win Super Bowl 59? We find out together and fade the public. Not who would you want to win, as we do understand most of the public sentiment to this matchup, but which team will win Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans 13 days from now? The Chiefs or the Eagles? It is basically a money line pick 'em. It's a point and a half spread, and the public is kind of backing that up. It is razor thin, 51.5%. Back in the birds in our fade the public poll, 48.5 on Kansas City. Now, Donnie, you are a lifelong Eagles fan, but you have mentioned a few times here in these first 2 hours plus of this show, how can you pick against Kansas City? So which way did you vote in the fade the public poll?
I voted the Eagles, of course. Which team will win the Super Bowl? The Philadelphia Eagles, absolutely. We got to start. We got to get the avalanche started in the right direction to get all the vibes high. I gave you a role in New Orleans where people understand I might be picking against the Philadelphia Eagles, even though I'm the most unbiased man on Sports Grid. There's no doubt about that. Forget about what anybody's told you before.
It is me right now. There'll be a lot of those claims. The next two weeks, I will say.
Yeah, there will be a lot of those claims. There's one guy that actually shouldn't be going to New Orleans that is going, but we'll get to that another time. But the Philadelphia Eagles at 51%, which is nice because the bandwagon can fill up. Now, understand this. You're asking a lot of wounded animals out there that are voting in this poll today because the Eagles knocked out Cinderella with 75% or whatever the tickets coming in its victory. So there's a lot of hate for the Eagles that are going to get because they beat up Cinderella. But then you're going to realize, like, if we keep this poll going, you see the 51% to the 53s, to the 55s, to the 58s, because we realize We don't want to see the Chiefs again. We're tired of the narrative. We don't want to see, you know, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on the field again, and Andy Reid tell you he wants to go eat a cheeseburger, and Mahomes in his Kermit voice tell you how great the run was this year, and let's do it again next year. We don't want that here. We want to end the dynasty. We don't want to see three in a row from Kansas City. We don't want to see the Chiefs fans in New Orleans here eating barbecue ribs down there talking about their dry rubs better than anything else in the country. You don't want to see Kansas City anymore, and I agree, which is why the public right now is correct right now. Yeah. 51% Eagles.
Burnt ends. That's the key in KC. End of the brisket that is charred and glazed. It is absolutely beautiful. Donnie, what is so funny about this matchup, right? It is a rematch for the second time in 3 years. It feels tired. It feels played out. Some have already tried to push back on the narrative that the hate for Kansas City is unjustified. We love watching greatness. At least we claim to love the idea of the elite continuing to be elite year over year, game over game. And yet we are fed up with the Kansas City Chiefs. Enough, Patrick Mahomes. Enough of Travis or whatever they're known as, Tavis, for that couple. We don't care about Andy Reid against his former organization anymore. But frankly, we're not in love with Philadelphia either. Birds fans and chanting fly, Eagles fly, rub people the wrong way at certain times. I do think it is a sensational matchup. I am excited. And I want this noted right now. 51.5% of the public saying the Eagles will win. 48.5% on the other side for Kansas City. We'll ask a similar, if not the same exact question come Friday ahead of Super Bowl Sunday, 11 days from now. And I want it noted where the public has changed in the long 2 week lead up to the biggest game of the year. Donnie, when the line opened up last night on FanDuel, by the way, -130 money line for KC, +110 other side for the Eagles. Pretty close to that projected number. It was -118 money line for KC, a slight favorite by less than two dimes in front of the Birds. So I know it's 12 cents. I know it's not all that impactful, but I was a little bit interested. So I quickly clicked on the stats button on the lovely FanDuel Sportsbook, the great sponsor of this show, to see where the early money was coming in on FD. 61% of the money on the spread back in Kansas City. 61% of the bets back in Kansas City on the spread as well. Still 60% of the money on the spread on KC. Only 56% of the bets on the Chiefs. I wonder how the public love and thus the public handle starts to change in the next 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, and also when the practice reports start to come in, right, in anticipation, because people are going to hit it right off the bat. That's what sharp people do all the time. I think I'm going to get a better price right now. I'm going to take it, and let's see where it sits in 2 weeks. You can buy out, you can scalp, you can hedge, you can do whatever. But understand this, if Jalen Hurts isn't wearing the brace here and Landon Dickerson is fully healthy and Saquon says he's felt better in years, that might get a change here. But we're not anticipating that. Why? Because we don't have the major injuries to talk about where it's like under secrecy. Like if we even date it back to 2004, the Eagles going to Jacksonville to take on the Patriots. Hey, is Terrell Owens the best wideout in the league going to play? Like, you have a lot of those buildups where you're betting into the unknown, which is specifically what you were doing with the Eagles yesterday with Jalen Hurts saying, hey, I think he's going to be okay, but what happens if he wasn't? And you have Kenny Pickett in that football game, which they lost last time to Washington. So for me, I think it's going to stay the same. You asked me earlier in the show, I think it'd be shocking if it was a role reversal and the Eagles turned into a favorite here. Because again, the same concept I've been preaching with Kansas City for a long time. If you tell me to my face, Donnie, I understand. If you think the Eagles are a more talented team, I have Mahomes and Andy Reid in a Super Bowl and I just have to win the game, I'm taking it. I say, you know what? More power to you. I can't even argue with you.
Yeah, and Donnie, I do believe it makes it easier to hate the Chiefs, even if they are an ever so slight favorite. 44 cents of money line difference, because then they can't play the role of the underdog and use the ethos of nobody believes in us as they have in their last two Super Bowl victories. Now, let me ask you, we talked about this leading up to Pro Football Today on Sunday for Conference Championship Weekend. Two guys on that desk, Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, big time backers of the Birds, lifelong Eagles fans. There was one other guy, Jalisi. Yeah. who was backing the Washington Commanders to win outright. A serving of humble pie and crow that he had to eat yesterday. Do you think he is doubling down? Do you think he is all on the Chiefs when you guys head to New Orleans this weekend?
No, no, I don't. The Chiefs are way too mainstream here. So he's going to have a struggle in this because he's not going to take any Mahomes props. He's not going to take any Jalen Hurts props. He's not going to take any Travis Kelce props or Saquon Barkley props. Like, this could be the Grant Calcaterra game. Like, that's what I feel like I'm going to hear on the desk over the next 2 weeks, as that's the guy he's picked up. Or how about Noah Gray here, Ben? That's what I think we're going to hear that. Yep.
Listen, the guy was like Juwan Jennings over 29 and a half last year in Vegas.
Yep.
And Juwan Jennings had the game of his life. So maybe he's on.
And then he hates him now. And then he hates him now. Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, joins us live right here on this Monday following conference championship weekend and 13 days away from the biggest football game of any NFL season, Super Bowl Sunday. Dr. Chow, as always, we appreciate the time bright and early on a Monday. Looking forward to Super Bowl 59 and how both teams will use this additional week of rest to get ready for the biggest game of a season.
Yeah, well, live from surgery, as you can see, sort of. I'm not, you know, the patient's getting put to sleep here, but they're not waiting for me.
listen, a man that backs up what he is talking about live on air. Dr. Chow, of course, one of the big stories entering conference championship Sunday, the health of Philly's quarterback Jalen Hurts dealing with the injury to his left knee. He was wearing a brace pregame right before they got started, and the Eagles took the field for the first time offensively as they shared on the broadcast. That brace did come off. You watched Jalen Hurts yesterday, 3 rushing touchdowns, but not a ton of yardage. Did throw for nearly 250, 4 total touchdowns in the game. But in terms of his mobility, his health, his effectiveness, how did Philadelphia's quarterback look to you?
About what we thought, that, you know, he was definitely playing, but he's definitely not 100%. And he could run, especially straight ahead, but perhaps not as dynamic. He was mobile, but I don't know that he was dynamic in the typical self, right? I mean, his rush yards were way under what his typically would be. And he threw the ball pretty well. And I think they had a good game plan, Kellen Moore. You know, obviously hard not to have a good one when Saquon does what he does with his first couple of touches, and mixed it up pretty well. And obviously very successful, putting up 55 points.
Yeah,
absolutely. Doc, take a look at the game yesterday. I was on my ride home, and the inactives were going to be big because Cam Jurgens was having issues with his back. Worked out in the field, and I'm sure you're part of many of these conversations. They all huddled around the general manager of the teams, and he was made active but wasn't going to start. What do you think the issue was with Cam Jurgens? And also, what are some of the medications that you could possibly give to a player where he can play, and also understanding what it means to be inactive and not playing on game day due to that back injury?
Yeah, that's a good topic. But the final thing on Jalen Hurts is I never thought it was like a ligament structural injury. That's why the brace maybe make him feel better. I don't know that it was completely necessary, so it didn't really surprise me he took the brace off. It probably made him feel more dynamic. As far as Cam Jurgens is concerned, there's no video. It was a back issue. And, you know, obviously he was on the active roster, so he was able to play, but, you know, they thought they had a better shot with Dickerson until he got hurt. And he came in and played reasonably well. And, you know, I always speak about the magical healing powers of the extra week before the Super Bowl. And look, the Eagles have seen it before, you know, with Terrell Owens and his fractured ankle, so to speak. So Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, they get a little extra time in special healing.
And the Eagles have been one of the best offensive lines, Doc, all season long around the NFL. So the additional week of rest for Cam Jurgens, he should be back as the starting center for Super Bowl 59. And to his side, Landon Dickerson, of course, one of the best interior offensive linemen in the National Football League, injured his knee. It is what Cam Jurgens was forced to do coming back into the football game. What is the prognosis for Landon Dickerson? How do these teams use the additional week of rest and the long layoff entering a Super Bowl?
Well, Landon Dickerson has torn both his ACLs in his past. And right now we're searching through some additional video to see exactly what it is, and that'll give us a better prognosis on whether he can come back. But I would lean towards yes, given that it's 2 weeks and given that it's the Super Bowl right now. And, you know, this is where the Eagles made a smart decision, keeping Cam Jurgens active just in case, so to speak. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I think it's a reasonable chance that he will come back and play.
Doc, I want to talk briefly here about the Buffalo Bills, who did get eliminated yesterday, but you saw Christian Benford, another concussion, just getting cleared off of one. Now, he has a long offseason, certainly, to get healthy as he can be. But talk about, let me say, if he gets concussions close together, if the Buffalo Bills had won, would he be automatically out for the Super Bowl in 2 weeks? And how do you usually take a look at those prognoses?
Well, if it were a normal situation, he would automatically be out for a month, and that would include the Super Bowl. Now, is there some extra Super Bowl pressure and this, that, the other? And you can't judge. You have to look at each case individually. But the rule of thumb is two concussions concurrently very close together, you're out for at least a month. I mean, we saw Tua out for a month just with the single concussion. We saw Chris Olave out for the rest of the season with concussions 2 weeks apart. So, yes, he would have, in theory, missed anyways.
So, Dr. Chow, one of the great things about what you and your team do at Sports Injury Central and the work you will find at sixscore.com, sicscore.com, is the individual six score for each player out of 100. We always talk, oh, he might be 80% ready to go or 90% effective in the game. With the additional week of rest for Jalen Hurts, Philadelphia's quarterback, what do you estimate his six score will be come 13 days from now on Super Bowl Sunday in New Orleans?
Well, you know, he was in the yellow category. Different points of the week, he was 79 to 82 on our scale there. And I think that's about what he played. But he's going to be at least in the high 80s at this point in time, from what we call yellow to maybe green-yellow with slight caution. But he should be okay to go. The other interesting thing, there's rumors out there that Brandon Graham can come back and play and be his final game as an Eagle going off of the Super Bowl. That's a pretty tight timeline. Triceps tear with surgery a little over 2 months ago. I don't know that I see it, him being able to hold off blocks and shed blockers or be that effective, but we'll see. I mean, a lot of rumors he's going to be activated off of IR. Well, why not open up his practice window, create the excitement and the illusion, and it doesn't cost you a roster spot anyways until you actually activate him off IR. You're just going to open up his practice window and see what happens. That'll be great if he can, but I dubious. And Saquon's calf shouldn't be a big issue.
Yeah. Thank you for all of that information, Doc. No doubt to have BG back in the Super Bowl prep for Philadelphia, one of the leaders of that franchise. Dr. Chow, as always, thank you so much. More on the Early Line coming on your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, there is just one more football game this NFL season. Of course, it is the biggest each and every year. 13 days from now, Super Bowl 59 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles in New Orleans. The next few big events on the NFL offseason calendar, scouting combine at the end of February into the first weekend of March 2025, NFL draft in late April in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's where the seven rounds of the NFL draft are going to be. You got to hope that it's an early spring Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow and things are good up there in the great state of Wisconsin. Why, you're not going? Why are you shaking your head? What does it matter to you?
Like, I just don't understand things in life. You know what I mean? Like, most of the time, like, understand how, like, CEOs move and operate, right? And big companies here. Like, let's just say we're all based in the Northeast. They go, we're going to have a retreat. They don't go to Ontario, Canada, or Saskatchewan. They go down to Miami in Florida. They go to New Orleans. They go to Arizona. They go to Southern California. People want to be in a party atmosphere. You can walk outdoors, not go outdoors and have 8 feet of snow. Stop the madness here. Stop putting things in the North Corridor in the winter. Put it down south, please. And I was, well, Don, it's not in the winter for the draft. It's still winter in Green Bay till like August 1st, I believe.
April 24th through the 26th in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in Titletown, outside of historic Lambeau Field. They also just named 2026 NFL Drafts locale.
Where is it?
Guess where? Where? Guess where?
What Cleveland again? Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Buffalo. Pennsylvania.
Oh, my.
It's where the 2026 NFL draft is going to be. It seems clear, Donnie. They're almost giving the NFL draft and the celebration of that area to places that aren't really going to host the Super Bowl. They've done a couple of cold weather Super Bowl cities in the last decade plus, right? A couple of years ago, they did it here in the Northeast. In New Jersey, they did it in Minneapolis, what, 5-6 years ago? I don't think that's going to be the case ever again because they got so much snow in the Twin Cities that week. I think they're kind of awarding other NFL cities the NFL draft.
Yeah, come on. Warm weather wins, people. Stop the madness at this point. It's I don't know. We could go on for like 3 hours on this, you know, yeah, Indianapolis probably. And all this. To stop the madness. Just get it down south. If the temperature is not 70 or above, it shouldn't be hosting anything, anywhere, at any time.
So it's an interesting week, though, in NFL draft cycles because we had the East-West Shrine Game over the weekend. We're starting to see those prospects practice on the field against one another.
Yeah.
We've got the Senior Bowl this week in Mobile, Alabama. And, Donnie, we have seen changing odds for that first overall selection in the last 4 or 5 days or so. That is going to be the case always during a draft cycle. It is draft season. It is smokescreen season. We know all of that.
Yeah.
But we know the top two teams that are drafting, first and second. The Titans, number one. The Browns, number two at this moment. Both franchises seem in desperate need of a quarterback. We heard from new Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi at his introductory press conference last week in Nashville. In so many words, saying we're going to take the best prospect that we can. We are not going to pass on a generational talent. Mm-hmm. So people are like, oh my God, generational talent. Guy plays both ways. Heisman winner and Travis Hunter. He's now going to be the first overall pick. And then there were some reports from Draft Guru saying, you guys misread that. Still think Tennessee looks at a quarterback, but if they're talking about a generational talent, it's not Travis Hunter, who more than likely is not going to play on both sides of the football in the NFL. An elite cornerback, a good wide receiver. It's actually Abdul Carter who put that on display for Penn State and certainly in a college football playoff. So now Hunter and Carter tied for the second best price at plus 210, both less than a buck behind. Still that favorite to go first overall, Miami's quarterback DRS in Cam Ward at plus 130.
I tend what they're showing there and that price point's there. For me, I do think Cam Ward is the best quarterback. And if you're drafting number one and need a quarterback, what do you do, Ben? You draft the best quarterback in the draft, which is Cam Ward.
Yeah.
But I don't think I can fault any team for saying, okay, we're not going to reach on a quarterback. And I'm not saying Shedeur Sanders isn't going to be a really good NFL quarterback, but I want to remove myself from that. Top quarterback, it's Cam Ward. He's going to go. But can you pass on a guy that might be a really good cornerback Pro Bowl guy for the next 10 to 15 years in Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter? Do you watch how NFL games are won where you have to absolutely triple team one guy on the outside like a Micah Parsons just to stay in the game plan here? I love Abdul Carter. I agree with the FanDuel Sportsbook is posting with odds here, Ben.
A lot to be decided. Not exactly the most stellar quarterback class in 2025. Prop Perspective, TV Talk, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
13 days away from the big game in the Big Easy. Super Bowl Sunday for Super Bowl 59 between the Chiefs and the Eagles. But it is never too early to get the best of a number and that prop perspective with TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid, live right here on Sports Grid on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. Tom Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Excited to look at those early prop numbers for Super Bowl 59 with you and find those edges where we can.
Of course, thanks for having me. I have already been diving into some of these props as literally exactly 12 hours ago. I was doing the recap show last night after the Chiefs came away with the victory and diving into some of those props, giving an early look at those. And some of the lines have already moved. Right? So the total jump up just a little bit. The money line has moved just a little bit in favor of the Chiefs, and the props and the juice are moving. Let's get to it all.
Yeah, the numbers are out there for those early markets, both from the prop bets and, of course, the spread, money line, and total. 1.5 points, Vecchio, in favor of the Chiefs, hoping to make history and win a third consecutive Lombardi Trophy, minus 132 on the money line. But as has been the case at a few stops throughout this postseason, we're talking less than 50 cents of difference in those money line numbers and a total at 49.5. So once again, Vecchio, we are expecting a highly competitive and high scoring game in Super Bowl 59. Do you think the actual gameplay will follow those early odds?
I do. I also expect that number 49.5. I expect it to get up to 50 at some point. Will it close at 50? You know, once we get 2 weeks from yesterday, will we close at 50? Maybe not, but I do expect it to at least flash there for some portion of a day as we move throughout things. Obviously, different injury reports have come out, et cetera, et cetera. But I expect it to move up a little bit. I don't mind, you know, taking under at that point, under 50. I think we're going to be in for this, you know, field goal type of game, as you'd expect. I think diving into what we should be expecting from the offenses obviously will lead us to very, very specific props of where we should be looking. Obviously, the Saquon number is super high. Who's going to be scoring? Are we going to see a bounce back game from Travis Kelce? All these things have to be discussed over the next 2 weeks. And I expect some of these props to move dramatically. Right, like a Saquon number that was 114 last night. I wouldn't be surprised to see that close at 120, 124 plus, somewhere around there.
When we're taking a look at the Super Bowl, obviously, Tom, it usually lends us ourselves to really put the microscope under the quarterbacks. The question, which was very tough, I had over 179.5 yesterday on Jalen Hurts, but even coming into that game, Tom, I wasn't sure what Jalen Hurts I was going to get there. Now, granted, he cruised over that. Now you see Jalen Hurts supposed to be much more healthy in the Super Bowl in an environment that's going to be in a dome on a fast track at 210.5. Patrick Mahomes at 251.5. If we just start with the quarterbacks going up against very good defenses, are you leaning one way to another on either one of these guys?
You know, I want to lean on the over on the yards for Hurts. Just I think that's what we should be seeing. It shouldn't be all Saquon on the ground. Obviously, we know that Steve Spagnuolo is going to like draw something up that they're going to try and eliminate Saquon as much as they possibly can. It's only going to happen to a certain degree, but you know, Hurts should be pushing to that 200. I'm going to say threshold. It's not to say that, you know, he can't have 200 and Saquon can't have 100 plus on the ground and they have a well-balanced attack, but that's, I think, where we should be seeing the Eagles offense. And maybe it's going against the grain. Like, they expect them to run the ball. So it's like, hey, why don't we flex the passing just a little bit more and try and exploit as much as we possibly can. We did see Allen move the ball pretty effectively throughout the air. They also moved it awesomely on the ground yesterday against the Chiefs. So I think there will be a very balanced attack for the Eagles. I also think that looking to Mahomes specifically for over 35.5 passing attempts is where we should be seeing. You know, only 26 and 25 in the first two games of the playoffs, but he ended the regular season 37 passing attempts or more in 9 of the last 10 games. As I said last night, like, this is where the rubber meets the road for the Chiefs. At the end of the day, I think Kareem Hunt was solid last night, and I think he's looking better than Pacheco, which is why I have interest in Pacheco under. But Mahomes will have the ball in his hands at the end of the when it's all said and done. So over 35.5 attempts, it was at minus 104. The juice is moving a little bit. I saw it at minus 127 this morning.
Vecchio, the first bet that I made for Super Bowl 59 is not Patrick Mahomes and his right arm. It's utilizing those legs as you have there. There is so much sample size on Patrick Mahomes now in the postseason in games that matter most, making sure he takes off and picks up chunks on the ground. 46 rushing yards last night, 11 attempts, 2 rushing scores. Why do you believe that continues into Super Bowl 59 against Philly?
Well, I mean, all the things you just said, plus just the general pressure that the Eagles can bring on defense, I think is going to cause Mahomes is going to have to scramble. But we saw like some designed run plays for Mahomes last night on those, going out to the flat on fourth down. So we add in the pressure plus the designed run plays. Like Mahomes should be able to get there. Now, last night I did discuss Mahomes' 6.5 rushing attempts. Obviously, the yards are always safer compared to the attempts. I think they can both get there. But obviously, I would side with yards at 28.5, as I spoke about last night. I'm already in on that spot as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how this game plays out. Certainly, the next 2 weeks, we have so many chances and opportunities to go back on these. But the opening lines, as you said, Tom, are going to change. Now, interesting enough, we saw some intricacies yesterday. A.J. Brown not seeing the ball a lot, saw the ball a lot yesterday and scored a touchdown. Travis Kelce, who's been on an absolute crazy run over his past, dozen or so playoff games, he has 19 yards worth of catches. So you see the Super Bowl, the two leading dogs, it's Kelce, 64.5, A.J. Brown, 67.5. Are we top dog hunting in the passing game, Tom? Are there other options that you're looking for so far in the Super Bowl?
I've been coming on the show for how many years at this point, and what do I always say? Right, it's the secondary, it's the tertiary options. Doesn't matter if it's the last game of the season, doesn't matter if it's the first game of the season. I'm sticking with that. And as I said last night, it's Devonta Smith over 4.5 receptions. Obviously, the Chiefs are going to do everything they possibly can to stop Saquon. Also, we have to look back to the Super Bowl that we saw that they played a couple years ago. A.J. Brown burned them for that long touchdown, 45 yards. So they're going to be diverting extra resources to stop Saquon. They're going to be diverting extra resources to stop a long shot to A.J. Brown. Something's going to be left open, and either it's going to be Devonta Smith or Dallas Goedert. And I saw Dallas Goddard's reception prop at 3.5. It was -168, so there was a lot of juice on it. So I lean towards the yards on Dallas Goedert and the receptions for Devonta Smith. Some of these secondary options will play a role. Not Jahan Dotson, but Devonta Smith.
7 grabs on 9 targets for the century mark. That's 100 yards for Devonta Smith in that first matchup in Super Bowl 57 out in Glendale. Vecchio, I wasn't here now, I guess, last Tuesday as you guys were looking at the Super Bowl 59 MVP odds entering championship weekend in the NFL. But I heard a rumor and a little birdie tell me that your thought process for where the value was in the MVP hardware for the biggest game of the year was very similar to what it was last year, betting Christian McCaffrey early, the 49ers running back, because he might have a better price and outlook to win the Super Bowl MVP award than his quarterback, Brock Purdy. Well, looky here. Saquon Barkley, a shorter price to win Super Bowl 59's MVP award in front of Jalen Hurts. Is there still value on the board in Barkley? If not, where else might you look?
Yeah, I think Barkley is probably the only option I would look to at this point if I didn't already have a Barkley ticket, which I do. I spoke about this on numerous recap shows. It was before the Packers, or it was after the Packers lost to the Eagles. I was talking about, like, oh, we could be looking at a Gibbs ticket. You could be looking at a Derrick Henry ticket, a Saquon ticket. Those were at 15-16-1. And that's where you want it to be, because in all reality, if the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I'm going to say 60% of the time Saquon would be winning MVP, 35% of the time would be Hurts. And then there's a very small chance that maybe like Jalen Carter or Zach Bond making some like massive defensive play. The same thing could be said about Karlaftis on the other side. So if you want to take longer shots, that's where I would go. In theory, if the Chiefs were to win, I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, it would be Mahomes. So if you don't have a Chiefs future and you want to say, I'm going to take a Mahomes MVP ticket at plus money instead of laying out on the money line for the Chiefs, that would be a spot to look as well.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. 3 Super Bowl championships for KC so far. Mahomes has been the MVP all 3 times. Vecchio, quickly on the ice tonight, what's the best play to build up the bankroll before Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, let's just keep it really simple tonight. Connor McDavid goal plus 130. This is his first game back after a 3-game suspension, which was maybe unwarranted, maybe warranted. It maybe should have been 1 game. He's back. He's at home plus 130 for a goal tonight.
Donnie was telling me about McDavid's suspension. He thought it was warranted, though. Plus 130 to tickle the twine for the NHL's best. Tom Vecchio, thank you so much. Hardwood Handicap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We have so much time to preview Super Bowl 59. It's what this show has been dedicated to on a Monday following championship weekend in the NFL. Donnie, we only have one football game left. We really got to start diving into the hoops, both around the association and in college basketball. If you're keeping track at home, Donnie's best play, I believe, last Thursday in college hoops, St. Mary's laying 10.5, even laying a bad number. The Gaels, great in doing so. No issue. Donnie Wrightside is going to be ready to go, especially with his team totals in CBB. But how about the NBA? Totaling up the number of games we have tonight, I think we got 12 around the association. Good work. Good work right there by the NBA to recognize the fall from football in being there on the day after conference championship weekend. And Donnie, one of the best games of the night at the home of the reigning champs inside TD Garden. The Celtics, 6.5-point favorite against the Houston Rockets. 222 is that total. Boston, second best record around the Eastern Conference. Houston, second best record in the Western Conference. A finals preview. Again, I think is a little bit liberal with the use of that term, but what are we expecting tonight in Beantown?
I think we get a good game, and you see that 6.5 opened up here in New Jersey at FanDuel, that number, and still sitting this morning at 6.5. Be interesting to see where that moves. The total itself, 221.5 as the opener, now up to 222. But if there's two ways you can look at this game. Houston is ready for prime time, or the Celtics understand the magnitude of this game. Like, come on now. You're actually looking at these guys as one of those contenders out in the West. Yeah. Let's show them what's up. We're at home on our home court. So theoretically, you'd say, you know what? I think this is going to be a Boston win by double digits. But for me, I look at that line and read it as that's a Houston Rockets line where I'm expecting them to come to town and say, you know what? We're going to shake it up here. Yeah, you won a championship, but let's announce our presence here by saying we're not afraid of you. We're not going to cower and lose by 15 points. We're going to play. Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, Dylan Brooks, and Alperen Şengün are expected to be in the starting lineup tonight. I think they fight tonight, Ben. Give me the 6.5 for the upstart Houston Rockets in Boston to sort of have a measuring stick game for them. How about that?
The Houston Rockets have been great as a dog this year as well. 8-4-1. Yeah. Against the spread. 7 of those 8 covers an outright victory. So a 7-6 straight up record for the Rockets as a dog. Donnie, there is one team of 30 around the association that has a winning record above 500 outright as an underdog this season. It's Ime Udoka and it's Houston Rockets. They are 30-14 overall this year. Again, second best win percentage in the Western Conference. They have one fewer win than that of the Grizz, but also one fewer loss. So they're slightly in front of Memphis right now, who is 31-15. Of course, still looking up at OKC by 6.5 games. Boston, 4.5 back of Cleveland. The Cavs used to have the best record in the association. Now that goes to Oklahoma City. But how many games did I just mention? 44, 45, 46 around the NBA. We're past the midway point. All-Star Weekend is, what, 3.5 weeks away in the association? We're really getting into the thick of it this NBA season. By the way, Boston, 32-14, 46 total games. Favorite in 44 of 46, 18-25-1 against the spread. Not overwhelming based on the expectation, but of course, still a great year. A game I was supposed to be at got postponed by a week. I'll see those Rockets more than likely next Monday inside Madison Square Garden, moving some scheduling things around. But the Knicks in a big one in MSG tonight, 3.5-point home favorite. 30 wins for the Knickerbockers now against that Grizz team that we mentioned, 31-15.
And look at that total, Ben. Opened up at 239.5. Now sits at 241.5 for a Knicks game. A Tom Thibodeau coach team at a 241.5. That is crazy at this point. And then you take a look at the 4.5, now down to 3.5 as the line. I do agree with that line movement. Memphis is really talented. I'll say that line, but out of principle, I just got to come on, Tibbs. Show up. Give me a Josh Hart 60-minute game. Let's play some defense.
Come on.
Keep it under 240 in that game. Come on now.
Those boys from Nova were talking yesterday about the Eagles back and forth, and Josh Hart was making fun of Jalen Brunson, who was making fun of him for leaving the game or the watch party early, wherever they were, and Josh Hart said one of us has to play defense tomorrow night back at home in the Garden against the Grizz. So, yeah, keep an eye on that deep. 240? For Tom Thibodeau? For Tibbs?
241.5.
No, can't believe it. Won't believe it. Not a part of it. Suns underdog at home against the Clippers. Is Jimmy Butler there yet in Phoenix?
By the way, no, but it looks like the anticipated starting lineup does actually have Beal back in there. Were they showcasing Bradley Beal now to the rest of the NBA back in the starting lineup with the big three? My goodness.
I mean, talk about a sign of the times. The Cavaliers at home, double-digit favorite against the Detroit Pistons. Yeah. If the season ended today, Detroit's in the playoffs. 23-22, a game above 500. J.B. Bickerstaff is now the head coach of the Motor City, if I'm not mistaken. T-Wolves at home, double-digit favorite against the Atlanta Hawks. Is Jimmy Butler back for Miami? Two-game suspension over? Freeze up? Sunshine State battle?
I don't know if they let to see that guy back on the court again at this point now. But I got two words for you tonight, Ben. You want those two words?
Please.
You want the two words? Now, Jolisi is one word. You get that? It could be Jolisi, two words. Two words tonight. Norm Powell. Norm Powell. Just remember that. Two words tonight. Yeah.
How many times have you bet on Norm Powell this year? Is he your most frequent
bet? Never
lets
you down.
In the association
this
season.
Never lets you down. Yeah, and also, by the way, you're seeing it, but like Kawhi Leonard's supposed to be in that starting lineup with James Harden, so that means the attention goes to those two guys. Norm Powell with another three-point shot made. That's what we're hearing tonight in Phoenix.
How bad are things for the Washington Wizards, the NBA's worst team this year? They're a 12-point dog in Dallas, and I don't see Luka Doncic listed. The Wiz are 6-38. They're the only team yet to reach double-digit wins around the association. I think they have been an underdog in every game this year. They are 17-25-2 against the spread. What is Norm Powell's number? Do you know, or are you just going to bet it regardless of what it is?
I'm just gonna, I'm assuming it's going to be around that 2.5 number. So three or three-point shots, three more shots made. Bang it down. Yeah. Let's go. Three spots.
Three-plus made threes for Norm Powell, Donnie's guy, -145. I think that's Norman Powell's celebration. I'm pretty sure.
We'll make it a celebration, that's for sure.
Listen,
one
man,
of those.
I'll miss you. Have fun on the money line.
Yep.
Are we working together tomorrow?
Could be. Basketball.
Oh, my goodness. See you then, brother. B-ball. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you back to the Early Line, rounding out our 3 hours together on the first day of this new week, a Monday on SportsGrid. Again, pretty much the run of show for the next 13 days, I guess the 12 beyond the 11 that we have here, or the 9 more shows we have on the Early Line, there will be some sort of preview from some different angle for Super Bowl 59 between the Chiefs and the Eagles. But we will also start to turn our attention even more so to college basketball and the NBA. We only have one more football game this year, a week from Sunday. In college hoops, is getting really, really good. If you don't follow John Rothstein on Twitter, you're doing yourself a disservice. And of course, he shall be here tomorrow on TEL as well. But as most of the country was watching Championship Sunday in the NFL, John was there to remind you that 7 weeks from yesterday, exactly, we will have a bracket for the NCAA men's tournament. So as we dive even deeper in a conference play around the country, let's get you caught up on the news and notes and the scores that you need from the weekend that was. What a great Saturday slate that we had. 141 D1 men's college basketball games starting at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Final game tipping around 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. About 13 hours of college basketball, and it featured a ton of top 25 tilts, including a top 10 matchup on the Plains in Auburn. Number one, Auburn, holding on to that ranking and outlasting number 6, Tennessee, in a dogfight. 53-51 total in the low 140s, stayed well under. Auburn was a favorite at home. Tennessee does cover, but they do hold on late, 53-51. The Tigers should remain the number one team in the nation, despite not having Jahni Broom for their two games this week, ranked number one for the first time in two seasons. What a week it was for Auburn, and a huge win in SEC play. Hopefully you saw the ending of the game in Lawrence on Saturday at the Fog between Kansas and Houston in a top 15 matchup in the Big 12. KU closed as an ever so slight favorite at home, but that's not really the story of the game. About a minute and 15 seconds remaining in regulation. Kansas led by six. The Cougs come all the way back to force OT. Kansas in pole position in the extra 5 minutes. 79-73, the lead for KU with 18 seconds remaining in OT. At the line, the Jayhawks miss too. Houston comes all the way back, down by six in the final 18 seconds to force a second overtime, and the Cougars prevail 92-86 into OT. I mean, as good of a win as you will find. To do that in any game, to do that in Allen Fieldhouse, unlikely and remarkable for Kelvin Sampson and his Cougs playing their best basketball at the most important time of a season. Keep an eye on Caleb Grill and Missouri, led by Dennis Gates, into the top 25, 3.5-point home favorite in Columbia against an Ole Miss team that had been playing great basketball, 83-75, the victory for Mizzou. Tough week for Ole Miss. They had a lead against A&M at home in Oxford. A&M rallied in the midweek, and a big victory for Missouri at home. Vandy, what a year it's been, full of upsets. They upset Tennessee last weekend. They upset Kentucky this weekend. Vanderbilt playing great basketball right now. Of course, a huge upset in football over Alabama. I think the first time Vandy has upset Alabama football and Kentucky basketball in the same year since the early 1970s. Texas at the buzzer in the in-state rivalry, the Longhorn Showdown against Texas A&M. In Xavier, a win they had to have in Big East play. They get over UConn. A little bit more precarious this year for Connecticut. So many great scores from the weekend. Too many really to detail. Duke, big win in a big matchup in Winston-Salem against Wake Forest. The Demon Deeks do cover as a double-digit dog. But I bring up Duke to highlight those national championship odds as the end of January nears, less than 7 weeks from Selection Sunday. The Blue Devils are the national championship favorites at plus 430. They have been running a rough shot through the ACC, a deserved number. But Auburn at full strength, not sure how you could not argue they are the best team in the country. Plus 450 on those Tigers. Iowa State, a rally in Tempe against ASU. So much college basketball to bring you tomorrow. Big Monday ahead. Tuesday, we return 8 a.m. Eastern here on The Grid.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.